We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, verses 1 to 22. Text 1. Shinarvacha evam daitya sitar pishto maha bhagavatasa vachatam smayamana smaran marana pashitam. Narada Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, he remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. Mukam makarati vachanam vandanam haitedim yakritam tamaham mande shikaram yatarinam. Om Jnana Chimarangasya Jnananjana Shalokaya Shakshamiritam Yena Tasamai Shidhanayana. So we've been hearing how Prahlad Maharaj teaches his class friends about the importance of a human form of life, not to waste it even by playing as children. And what did he tell us in the last few verses of chapter 6, when he started his teachings, actually the verses I spoke on, what was the most important thing that you remember from those verses? Yes?
Material life.
Yes.
Is very difficult.
Material life is very difficult.
But to please Krishna is very easy and natural.
To please Krishna is very easy and natural. Yes, that
so
was the main thing. Yes.
Abandon your...
So all you demons, sons of demons, abandon your demoniac nature and surrender to the lotus feet of Narayan. That was his preaching. Anything else, Damana Krishna?
One should give up all envy.
Give up all envy.
Surrender to the pure devotee.
Yes. Surrender to the pure devotee and bathe in the dust of his lotus feet. Don't forget to bathe in dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. So verses, so the end of the last chapter, his friends asked, well, how did you get this knowledge from Narada Muni since, you know, there's no way to get out of this prison, I mean, this palace. Yeah, palace. Palace. It was a palace. And you and Narada cannot come here, so how is it? How did you hear this knowledge? So verses 1 to 16 of this chapter, now we'll hear today in these first verses, how he heard the knowledge from Narada Muni. We will hear the history. So in the purport of the first verse, Srila Prabhupada says, when he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narada Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby and embryo could hear Narada, but this is spiritual life. Progress of spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called the haituki of pratihata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. So you think you may have problems hearing the class, but just imagine if you're in the womb and the worms are biting you and you're trying to hear the Bhagavatam class and you're being scorched by the heat of the mother's digestion and you're no air, you're in a airtight bag, and you're hearing the Bhagavatam class. Of course, you're a captive audience, but still, it's not very... So thus, Prahlad Maharaj, from his very childhood, spoke spiritual knowledge to his class friends, and certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. So it doesn't matter if you're a child. Who are the examples? So one example, Prahlad is the example of the embryo in the womb. There is one famous Chatur-shloki verse which exemplifies this principle that there is no impediment. Of course, he quoted a haitukiya pratyata. And there is another verse from the Chatur-shloki, four famous verses. Anvayad vyatarikavyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. It's the last verse, which says that the Sankirtan movement or the knowledge can be, you should search for this knowledge anywhere and anywhere. You should search for this knowledge. I was hearing a very interesting verse today, I was at home listening to 10th Canto. There is a verse from the prayers of the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. And even though Krishna was in the womb, they understood he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were offering their prayers to the embryo. And they were saying that even someone who will seek the shelter of your lotus feet is protected from all danger, from fearfulness, will always be protected, will always be fearless. Yeah, those are the words in the purport, Prabhupada, really struck me. Prabhupada said, anyone who is just seeking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord will always be fearless. So that struck me. And Bhrijan emphasized, just seeking. It's not even you got the shelter, you're just looking for the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. You will always be fearless. So this, even though Krishna was an embryo in Devaki's womb, he had that power to make everyone fearless. So here we're talking about another embryo, embryos in the womb. So a child could also get this knowledge. Now the demonic children, they're examples how even children can get this knowledge. Who are other examples of children who became great devotees of the Lord? Who? Shukadev Goswami and Forkumaras and Dhruva Maharaj. So many examples. Narada Muni. Okay, and who was at the time of death who got Krishna consciousness? Katvanga Maharaj and Ajamila. And who was an old man? Of course, that was Ajamila also. So it doesn't matter what condition your body is in, you can get this knowledge. And the most difficult place is in the womb. It's even worse than old age, being in the womb of the mother. There was a BTG article about this by Satyarash Prabhu, 1988. And he was explaining how in the West, now they understand this, the Western doctors are understanding that the embryos are influenced by what their mother does. And there is one example of one child who came out when it was a small baby, and it wouldn't stop crying unless the mother would put it in front of the TV, a certain TV program. And she was watching that TV program the whole pregnancy. So that's the only way they could get the child to stop crying is put him in front of that program. And then they figured out why, because she was addicted to that program. So the kid was addicted to that program. And he was always watching that program, the TV serial. So welcome. Okay, let's have everyone come and then we'll tell them the story that I just told you, because I think it's very interesting. We're hearing about Prahlad, who is in the he's teaching his classmates about the importance of human form of life and devotional service. So in the last chapter, which we finished this morning, we were hearing, this was the essence right here on the board. Material life is very difficult, but to please Krishna is very easy and natural. And all the verses were about that, how it's difficult on one side and easy on this side. And nothing is unobtainable for the devotee. So now we're in the first verse where it says that although Prahlad was born in the family of Asuras, he was the greatest of devotees. So his friends asked, well, how did you get this information from Narada, since you cannot go out and he cannot come here? So then Prabhupada explained that he was in the womb, and that's where he heard it from Narada Muni. And he heard Narada Muni. So, Haitakiya Pratiha Hata, there's no impediment. And then I was telling a story from BTG that there was one child in the womb who got addicted to TV serials that the mother was watching while he was in the womb. Even the modern science is starting to recognize this, that what happens in the womb. So when he got out, he wouldn't stop crying unless the mother put him in front of that particular TV serial. And so, what are some other examples in Vedic culture where embryos in the womb got special knowledge, and when they came out, they were already fixed? Pariksit Maharaj. Yes. What did he get? He got darshan. Yeah, who else? Shukadeva Goswami. Who else? This is from Mahabharat, which you may not know. Arjuna. Oh, not Arjuna. Arjuna's son. Abhimanyu, was born with knowledge of military science because Arjuna had explained it to Subhadra when Abhimanyu was in the womb. So he came out already with all the knowledge of military science. So these are examples. So therefore, ladies in devotee women, when they're pregnant, then they're very careful to make sure their children hear a lot of Krishna stories or whatever. I know when my child was in the womb, then I sang the whole Bhagavatam twice with the tambura while he was in the womb.
And I was,
huh? No. No, the whole Bhagavatam. I mean, the most important. It was my habit even before he was born, so I just kept doing it while he was in the womb to chant the verses of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. So, but let's hope it manifests later on in his consciousness. So, but of course, the child in the womb is easy. Right, Bo? Yeah. Child in the womb is a captive audience. Now it's very difficult for my son to get my son to listen. But that time it was easy. Anyway, so these are examples. So verse 2, Prahlada Maharaj said, when our father, Hiranyakashipu, went to Mandarachala mountain to execute severe austerities, in his absence, the demigods headed by King Indra made a severe attempt to subdue all demons in warfare. So this mountain is very famous, Mandara Mountain. Does that ring a bell in anyone's mind? Mandara.
Yeah.
Yes? Kurma. It was the churning rod, Mandarachala, Mandara. Okay, and this is where Hiranyakashipu went to perform severe austerities. Now, Maharaj Agnidra also went there. Must have been a good place to perform austerities. He went there to get a wife, and he got one. So now we'll just read some more verses that have no purports.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah, okay, why not? Makes it more interesting.
He says, when our father, so some of the friends were stepbrothers? Or?
When our father, Hiranyakashipu, Pitari, you know the Sanskrit? Yeah, okay. Well, Prabhupada says, our father. It's a manner of speaking, as far as I know, because he had brothers. He had three brothers.
Do we have any information about them?
Well, their names are mentioned. The names are mentioned right in here somewhere. Yeah, the names are mentioned. And it was in a previous verse, which I don't think I have, because I have the second volume. There were four brothers. Lada, Ahalada, Pralada, and Samlada. And they were all, it said they were all very highly qualified.
So does that mean they were
qualified? I don't know, just said highly qualified.
But the one thing is that the descriptions of how Hiranyakashipu had so many women,
yes,
around the temple, and there's a pretty good likelihood that there might have been some more children.
Yes. Well, there's Kalanemi. I mean, as far as I know, his sons were grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. So Kalanemi, we don't have mention of his, that he's one of the, from this wife, Kayadu. He's not from Kayadu. Adipurush, you know anything about that? No.
I just realized that Prahlad is an uncle of Rahu.
Oh.
Has any problems with Rahu?
Okay. Anyone who has problems with Rahu, Prahlad is the uncle of Rahu. Just go to his uncle, and that'll sort him out. Yes. Huh?
It's also a common way of speaking. Prabhupada used to talk about our all the time.
Yes, our. Yeah, it's a manner of speech. It's a very, in fact, in Hindi, isn't it respectful, when you speak respectfully?
So he would say we.
We.
Yeah,
well, speaking of you, when you say our, like, you're not alone, you're always with your spiritual master. So he's always with his spiritual master, so he says our.
We seems to be a little less egoistic.
Yes. You are not the doer. You are not the... So yes, it is a manner of speaking. Prabhupada used that a lot too. We. So in this, I would just say it's like that too. Verse 3. Alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, So the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons. Verse 4-5, when the great leaders of the demons who were being killed one after another saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. Verse 6, the victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen. As she was being led away, crying in fear, like a kurari captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Narada Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon, Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Narada Muni replied, the child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him. So what are the words for a great devotee, which Narada Muni describes Prahlad Maharaj in this Mahabhagavata? What are some other words we heard of in chapter 4? To describe Prahlad Maharaj, what are the qualities? Prahlad Maharaj, chapter 4, I can't remember the exact verse. Unlimited qualities, yes, unlimited qualities. Brahmanya Shila, he had the qualities of a Brahmin, he was peaceful, he was kind.
Yes. His putting is equals.
Like his equals, just like a brother. And poor people, just like a father. His gurus with great affection. As a menial servant. Yes. So these are some of the qualities of Prahlad. Not disturbed, not agitated in any difficulty. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, there have been many instances in which demons or non-devotees have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have never been able to destroy a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita, Kauteya Patijani Iname Bhakta Pranashati. This is a declaration by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that his devotee cannot be killed by demons. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of the truth of this promise. Narada Muni told the King of Heaven, it would be impossible for you to kill the child, even though you are demigods. Certainly, it will be impossible for others. So here Prabhupada says, there have been many instances in which demons have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have not been able to. What are examples? Yes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We were hearing on his appearance day that they could not kill him. That they bribed the police. They tried to bribe the police, and the police came and said, "No, we take bribes, but in your case, we cannot, because you are a great sadhu." Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, yes, that yogi, I forgot his name, Bibhikshasena. So he tried to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he failed. Bhaktivinoda was protected by the Lord. So these are examples. Even Madhvacharya, was it Madhvacharya?
Ramanujacharya.
Yes. Yes. They ever tried? And there's another one where the disciple substituted himself.
That was,
yeah, like Bhaktisiddhanta. Yeah, we saw in the video Keshav Maharaj, Pragya Keshav. He swapped dress with Bhaktisiddhanta and to protect Bhaktisiddhanta's life, and Bhaktisiddhanta got away. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta got away. So these are examples. So we should also feel protection.
Just a small comment.
A small comment, okay.
Regarding the allegations of Prabhupada,
obvious that, yes.
Right. Okay. So, when the demigods took her away, one point that Prabhupada makes, well, we'll see what happens in the next verses, is that when the demigods heard there's a Mahabhagavata, then they respected. They respected the mother. And this is Vaishnava. But Prabhupada said that an Asura, he would not do that. And that's the difference between the demigods and the demons, said that they respected the words of Narada, we will see in these next verses. So there is a comment in Brihadbhagavatamrita on this verse that here Narada Muni has made a prediction that you cannot kill Prahlad. So to fulfill this prediction, then Nrisingadev appeared. So remember, in one prediction is that Narada Muni said that you will not be able to kill. So to fulfill this prediction, Nrisingadev appeared. And remember, in this morning's class, there were some words which Prahlad Maharaj said, and to fulfill the truth of those words, he also appeared. Does anybody remember what those words were that we said in this morning? Yes. Yes. He said the Lord is present even in the elements. So therefore, to fulfill the words of Prahlad that the Lord is present in the elements, he came from the pillar. This is also Brihadbhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. So verse 11, when the great saint Narada Muni had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, immediately released my mother. Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, all the demigods circumambulated her. Then they returned to their celestial kingdom. So purport, Prabhupada says, although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narada Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narada Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the Parampara system. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadhu, wife of Hiranyakashipu, but they accepted the authoritative statements of Narada Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. So just imagine the extremes. Well, on the one extreme, they were ready to kill the baby. They're saying, he's a demon, we're going to kill her. And then just by hearing Narada's words, they did the opposite. They circumambulated the baby in the womb. So just complete opposite behavior. They just changed it. So we have to also, we have our perceptions of things. We have our perceptions of people. We have our perceptions of devotees. But our perceptions are not always correct. So we have to hear the authoritative statements and then we can, before we can judge anybody. So this is a really good example for us that we must accept the authority, we must accept the shastra, we must accept guru, sadhu, and shastra, and then we can make advancement. And then we become a demigod. If we don't accept, then we're a demon. It says that, where in Bhagavad Gita says that, right? Which verse in Bhagavad Gita? It says, if you accept the scriptures, 1624. Okay, one person at a time. Adi Purush? Shastra Shastra. Oh, you got the rest? Tasma Shastra Pramanam Te. You have the rest, Madhavendra? Yeah. 23 is a famous verse. If you don't follow, then no happiness, no perfection. So this is the difference between demigods and demons. We're learning that in these verses. Verse 12. Prahlad Maharaj continued, the great saint Narada Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her of all protection, saying, my dear child, please remain at my ashram until the arrival of your husband. 13. After accepting the instructions of Devarshi Narada, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction as long as my father, king of the Daityas, had not become free from his severe austerities. 14. My mother, being pregnant, desired the safety of her embryo and desired to give birth after her husband's arrival. So she stayed at Narada Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narada Muni with great devotion. Not only did she desire to give birth after her husband would come back, which is an impossible thing, you know, it's supposed to be 9 months, But she got that benediction from Narada that, yes, until your husband comes back, you will not deliver the child. Because she was so afraid the demigods, she's still afraid the demigods are going to kill the child. So the mother, such a strong instinct to protect a child in all species of life. Of course, now, Prabhupada says in the West, they're killing the child in the womb. But there's a very strong instinct to protect. So in the purport about the second half, Prabhupada talks, no one should imitate Narada Muni or Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudravige Anahujai. Even if a man is very advanced in learning, he cannot understand behavior of a Vaishnava. Anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnava without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse it has been distinctly said, Devarshar Antike Sakuta Baya. Kayadhu, mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narada Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narada Muni. So not only she was without fear, he was without fear. Now what's he supposed to be afraid of? In his transcendental position, stayed with a young woman without fear of deviation. So that's the fear of the brahmacharis, to deviate. Narada Muni, Haridas Thakur, and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think the acharya is an ordinary human being, Guru Shu, Narada Matir. So Prabhupada did many amazing things. And sometimes devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they would try to imitate things of Prabhupada, especially the way he used to speak. They would imitate his speech, and then nobody could understand what they were saying. So it's not that you should imitate every little gesture, or every mannerism. That's not how you follow. Prabhupada said you must. There's two Sanskrit words, anusharan and anukaran. So anusharan means you follow, anukaran means you imitate. So the Prabhupada always was very fond to point out that there's two examples. One example is that they like to worship Lord Shiva and smoke ganja, but they cannot drink the ocean of poison. And the other example was they want to imitate Krishna's Rasalila, but they cannot lift Govardhan Hill. So these are examples that Prabhupada used to give about don't imitate. Any other examples? What things should we not imitate that Srila Prabhupada did? And I've seen devotees try to imitate and then they can't maintain these things. Yes?
Preach to the non-believers.
Yeah?
Be very heavy with other religions.
Yes, don't be heavy with other, and the scientists, don't call the scientists demons, and be heavy with, when your interfaith conference, you know, don't blast them, you know, like that. Yes, Dominic Krishna.
Accepting
opulent worship. That was happening. Yes. Okay, yes. Don't change. Prabhupada changed things. What did he change? He changed some details, not the principles. How many rounds we chant? He put it down to 16 rounds. He changed a lot of things. Women in the temples.
Sannyas
to mulachas. He gave. So many things he changed. He as a sannyasi, he performed marriage ceremonies.
Wigs and
Sankirtan.
Going to the West.
Going to the West, yes, that was not allowed. He even got the blessings of the Brijabasis who wouldn't give him blessings to go to the West, but he got it, as we read the other day. Yeah.
Use technology,
yes. Sannyasi is supposed to go barefoot walking. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta started that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He went by car and motorboat, very fancy boats down the Ganga preaching to rich people. Yeah, and Prabhupada took the airplane. He went one step further, a few steps further.
Yeah, so very rarely published Krishna book and distributed in mass, even on the secret pastimes.
Intimate pastime. He distributed Krishna book. We heard from Yashoda the other day that Bhaktisiddhanta, he wouldn't allow even his brahmacharis to read some parts of, was it Bhagavatam? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, he wouldn't allow his brahmacharis. And we heard the whole list of books. If anyone saw that video on Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day, He didn't allow his brahmacharis to eat Govinda Lilamrita, so many.
Ujjal
Nilamani.
And, Gita Govinda.
Gita Govinda. These are on the forbidden list. These are on the forbidden list, yes.
I have one question. This, but Prabhupada also, he was not so enthusiastic about this ultimate.
Not at all. One time when Grihastha couple came to Srila Prabhupada, Indians, they said, please explain Ras Lila to us. Srila Prabhupada said, no, I won't. They said, no, please, please, Swamiji, please explain Ras Lila to us. I said, no. And finally, they kept, you know, pressing him, and Prabhupada said, you may be qualified to hear, but I am not qualified to speak it. And that was his answer to them. And then, yeah, he said, Lord Chaitanya, he only spoke to, three and a half? Intimate. He only spoke these intimate topics to 3.5 people. And otherwise, and he only discussed philosophy with the very highly elevated scholars, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Pakshinanda Saraswati. And for the rest, it was Harinam Sankirtan and Prasad distribution. That was his preaching. That was Lord Chaitanya's preaching. And Prabhupada followed that example. Of course, he did give Bhagavad Gita philosophy. But if you see most of his classes, even on very elevated Bhagavatam verses, it'll be, you are not this body. The basics are always there. So we don't forget. And we don't forget who we are, actually, and where we came from. Yes, Lakshmimani. Yes.
He was very careful. He gave it to us very early.
Yeah, he gave, I know, 1970.
Put that basic philosophy after every line, sometimes pages and pages.
Yes.
Give us the story so that we would not get this misunderstanding.
Yeah, he put it right there in the 10th canto. He put all the philosophy, you're not this body. So just so we wouldn't misunderstand. He put the whole first 9 cantos in the 10th, in the Krishna book. So we wouldn't. So now what we're doing is we're studying the first 9 cantos, so then we'll understand the 10th. So Prabhupada put it all there in Krishna book, so we would understand, yes.
He engaged George Harrison.
Oh, George Harrison, yes, yes. Yeah, George Harrison wanted to shave up and become a brahmacharya. Prabhupada said, no, you'll be much more valuable if you remain a musician and make Krishna conscious songs, which he did. And his songs are very, and so many, I've heard so many people, so many devotees had heard Hare Krishna first from George Harrison. That was their first guru. What is that? Parvartika? Vartma Parvartakshana guru. So George Harrison was their guru, like that, in that sense. And I saw a video of his. They did a remembrance of him many years after he passed, 1 year after he passed away or something. And and they had a synthesis between Indian music and Western music together, and the Indian was Ravi Shankar, and they made a song about George Harrison. You see, his last name is Hari, Hari's son, the son of Hari, Hari's son. So they made a song about that, and they had the London Philharmonic musicians, and they were reading their music, and in the music was Hare Krishna, and they were all chanting because it was part of their music. The London Philharmonic Orchestra was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They were into it too. So you can just see just one person, how he influenced, and the people who came, who were performing, they were some of the most degraded people. They were all chanting Hare Krishna. And that was only due to George Harrison, who was empowered. Actually, he reminds me of one verse in Bhagavatam purport, in the first canto, I think it is, that the pure devotees, the Lord comes in different species of life, and then Prabhupada said even the pure devotees, the devotees come in many different species. So the hippie species was one species of life, and he incarnated in that species to deliver all of the hippies. So that happens, the pure devotees. And then it was quite moving, actually, to see how so many people who would never come to a temple or read a book, they were chanting Hare Krishna very nicely because of one person like that. Yes, okay. So we cannot imitate, but we follow. So Srila Prabhupada, in his lecture, he explained what I said, that he gave her the benediction that she would not deliver her child until her husband came back. And Prabhupada explains that even children, Even Prahlad, in the womb of his mother, he learned spiritual instruction. And even the children, they can clap. And we heard also, if you listen to Prabhupada's lecture on chanting Hare Krishna, even the dog can take part, and that even the child can take part, even the dog can take part in the chanting. And so we have that experience where all species of life like to chant Hare Krishna and dance with the kirtan. Verse 15, Narada Muni, deliver his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service, because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls. Being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. Purport, Prabhupada says, here it is said, Tarmasya tatvam gyanam cha nirmalam. The word nirmalam refers to spotless dharma, spotless religion, or in other words, Bhagavata dharma. Ordinary religious activities constitute contaminated religion, by which one benefits by developing material wealth and prosperity. But uncontaminated pure religion consists of understanding one's relationship with God and acting accordingly, thus fulfilling the highest mission of life and returning home back to Godhead. Verse 16. Because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions. But the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. So this is a problem here, that there is some material condition. But we heard already that even if you're less intelligent, it doesn't matter, because in spiritual life, there is no impediment. Haituki apratihata. So how is it that, how do we actually get intelligence? I mean, so what if you have this problem, less intelligence, then what do you do? How can you solve this problem? Lakshmani? He got the blessings, so he could remember. Yes. What can you do now? You get the blessings. Yes.
Shastra Chakshu.
You follow Shastra. Get intelligence from Shastra. Where else do you get it? Where do you get most? Yes.
Prabhupada says to be very strong in one's practice.
Yes. So for those who are strong enough, there is no question of forgetting. Okay, strong in practice. Papayoni, those who are less than Shudras, even a woman may not be Papayoni because of being less intelligent. She sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. So strength, spiritual strength, yes.
Cultivate spiritual identification.
Yes. Right. If you're not the body, then it doesn't matter. So how do we solve this problem? If we feel that our intelligence, we cannot understand this, it's very difficult to understand. So mercy, that's one answer, that's good. Cultivate from the Shastra, Shastra Chakshusa. Also, my experience is in chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Japa. If you chant attentively when you chant Hare Krishna, then you can contact Super Soul. And guess what? Super Soul is the source of all intelligence. So if you need more intelligence, you just chant attentively Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you connect. Huh? Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love. Yes, Satyavati. You were very quiet today. So let's hear.
Even one is less intelligent, he should just continue his devotional service without hesitation. Not thinking, not just standing on the point that I'm less intelligent. Don't think about this.
Don't worry about it. Just do your devotional service, right.
And everything up to Krishna.
End of the purport. Prabhupada says, one must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home, back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaja's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. So sometimes, if you're in great anxiety, if you're in great distress, you can't think properly. You forget things. Even you may forget to chant Hare Krishna. And you look, you go to other shelters. You go to other shelters in your distressed condition. You think, oh, maybe the psychiatrist will help me, or maybe this tantric will help me, or maybe the astrologer will help me, or maybe all these things will help me. But actually, nothing will help you except Krishna. But also another point is that, you know, so if you're in so much anxiety, sometimes you can't hear spiritual instructions. Just like your a mother, she's so much anxiety about her child, what her child is doing, then even someone will tell her, you know, okay, or if the child dies, she's in so much bereavement, and you tell her, no, you know, it's, anyway, it's not the body, anyway, he's spirit soul, he's gone, but that doesn't make the mother feel any better. Yeah, so she's just lost in her bereavement. Sometimes there's an example of this when Prabhupada was here, that he had an interview with Indira Gandhi, who was the Prime Minister of India, and maybe for a half an hour it was. And so he went there, and after he came back, he said that she was in so much anxiety that someone is going to kill her that she could not hear what I had to say. And it was true. They killed her. So her anxiety was well-founded. But unfortunately, she could not take advantage of Prabhupada's instructions at that time. But actually, she did help us after that. After Prabhupada talked with Indira Gandhi, then they gave us... we had visa problems in India the first 10 years. We were getting kicked out every 6 months, 8 months. And after he met with Indira Gandhi, then we started getting extensions at that point in our visas. And we started getting entry visa, student visas at that point. So it had some effect. It had some effect. I'm sure that's, he asked her for that probably when he met her. And then and then later the government said to give us the name of everyone, all the Western devotees, and we gave our names and they gave us extensions. And so that was one thing. But the point is that she couldn't hear properly. So if you're angry, or if you're in anxiety, or if these things are happening, then it's an obstacle to hearing spiritual instruction. And so she was definitely in anxiety. She got captured by the demigods who were threatening to kill her son. And even though she was in Narada Muni's ashram, that anxiety couldn't leave her. It couldn't leave her. So verse 17, Pralhad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith you can also understand transcendental knowledge, just like me. Although you are small children, similarly a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter." So what is the key word in this verse?
Faith.
Faith. Faith is the key word in the verse. He's telling his friends, just have faith in my words. And you will be able to understand, even though you're children. You may say, oh, we're just children. How can we understand this very difficult philosophy? No. You just have the faith. Mukham karati vachalam pangulam hayate kirim. So we should also have faith in Prahlad's words. And then we can understand. Even though it's very, now we're going to have some difficult philosophy. Not today, maybe tomorrow. Oh yes, we'll have something today also. So we just have to keep the faith that these words of Prahlad are true and they're transcendental, and if we accept them, we just accept and we'll understand. Actually, there's a nice purport in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita near the end of the chapter where Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness can be attained in one moment or it may take millions of lives. Then he gives two things which make the difference. What is the two things that you have to do to become Krishna conscious in a moment?
Surrender. And faith.
Those are nice things. Surrender and faith. Faith is in this verse, yeah?
Give up the idea to enjoy material world.
Okay, give up the idea to enjoy material world. Yeah, it's even simpler than that. That's hard. Give up the enjoying spirit. Surrender, my God. Surrender. Faith is easier. Faith is easier. Anyway, Prabhupada says, it is simply a matter of accepting and understanding the fact. We just have to accept. Is Krishna, Prahlada say, okay, we accept. Actually, we accept it in the West. In India, it was more of a problem because they have their own ideas of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada went to the West, they said to all the hippies, Krishna is God. And we thought, well, why not? We don't know anyone better than Krishna. Why not Krishna? In India, you say, what about Shiva? What about Durga? What about Ganesh? What about so many? But in America, it was quite easy. Just accept. No, we accepted. We accepted that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no problem. What is the difficulty? So it's a matter of accepting and understanding the fact. And that we also always talk about in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's the same thing. I told this before in class, so I'll say it again, because it's very important that we are, when we chant the holy name, then we're begging Krishna, please accept me, please accept me. And when we're chanting and we're hearing the holy name, then Krishna is coming in the form of the holy name, and Krishna is saying, please accept me, please accept me. So Bhagavatam is Krishna, and Krishna is saying, please accept me. He's here in the pages of Bhagavatam, he's here in the words of Prahlada Maharaj, and he's begging us, you please accept me. He's coming here just so we can get reclaimed, just like we heard the verse. He comes here to reclaim those in the mode of goodness. So now we're going to hear some spiritual knowledge. We just have faith and we accept it. And then we can progress in spiritual life. Immediately become Krishna conscious. On the purport, paragraph 3. In this verse, the word bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. Prahlada Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me. Become bona fide Vaishnavas. So much is behind what Prahlada is saying. Prabhupada is telling us that what is behind the words, that if you can place your faith in my words, it's actually Prahlada is blessing them to have faith in his words. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. Let there be. Bhuyat. He's saying, let you all have faith in my words. You will have faith in my words. So this is a blessing. So it's for us because we're also hearing it from Prahlada Maharaj. He's giving us a blessing that we will have faith in his words. So let us accept. All we have to do is accept the blessing for Prahlada Maharaj. We can have faith in his words. Also become faithful like me, Prahlada is saying. Become bona fide Vaishnavas. Prabhupada says, a devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by disciplic succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. So many doubts devotees have. This is called anartha nivritti, getting rid of the doubts. Spiritual master must be in the line of authorized disciplic succession, like Prahlada Maharaj, who received the knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlada Maharaj, sons of demons, were to accept the truth through Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. And if we were to accept the truth through Prahlad, we would also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. No matter who we are, who we think we are, we can also become Krishna conscious. By the mercy of Prahlada Maharaj, he's giving us his mercy here in his words in Bhagavatam. So I have a nice quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Etara bhakke ami jita vishvastore. This is Adi Lila 7, 95 and 96. It is said in the Vedas, Yasya deve parabhakti yata deve tatagura asaite paticha hyata prakashyante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So Prabhupada said one thing to some devotees in America in the early days. He said, if you just chant one chapter of Bhagavatam every day, you will become a great scholar. So that's something to think about. If you want to learn Srimad Bhagavatam, just chant a chapter every day, you'll become a great scholar. Faith in the words of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, this Vedic injunction is very important. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported it by his personal behavior. Believing in the words of his spiritual master, he introduced the Sankirtan movement just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. So what were the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that he said to Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada believed in? Yes?
There will be a fire.
I don't know if that was what inspired him to preach. Hari Purush?
Go and preach.
Go and preach, okay. That's more to the point. Yes?
If you will ever have money, print books.
If you ever have money, print books. Janmashtami.
You're an intelligent young man.
You're an intelligent... Oh, you've got it right there, okay. You're an intelligent young man.
You should...
We are up to date in computer technology.
Preach this Vaishnava philosophy to the English-speaking...
You should preach this Vaishnava philosophy to the English-speaking people. So these are the words given by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to Śrīla Prabhupāda, and he believed in them. Yes, Yashoda.
And he also convinced him that temporary concerns about the political situation were not anything to teach
on
games
of
trivia.
Yes, yes. When Śrīla Prabhupāda, the first meeting he had, he was a supporter of Gandhi's movement, and he had finished his studies, I think bachelor degree, and he left the degree. He didn't accept it because that was part of the protest. So although he got it, he didn't accept the degree from the college. That was part of the Gandhi's protest movement. And Prabhupada was a part of it. And then when he went to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, this is not necessary. Independence is not necessary. Simply you must spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada said he wanted to preach, we believed in his words and tried somehow or other to fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and supreme personality of Godhead is the secret of success. So Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. You keep the words of your spiritual master in your heart. Don't make it separate from your heart. It should be your heart. Should be your life. The reason for living is to fulfill the instructions of your spiritual master. And if you do that, then your life is successful. And he will take care of the rest. Going back to Godhead, whatever maintenance, everything, that is taken care of. That is their problem. If you simply have faith and try to fulfill his instructions, and everything comes. And so this is the point of this verse, faith. Now he's going to start the heavy philosophy. Let's see if we understand. Now we have faith in the words. He gives an analogy. Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes. So we've all seen fruits and flowers on a tree. And they're undergoing six changes. Birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death. The material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. So we can understand the body part, that the body is going through changes. And right now I'm going through the dwindling stage, just before death. And we're in different stages. Some of you are going to give fruits and flowers and have fun with them. Yes. Grihastha life. Kijai. So... this is a tree. Now the example is that you have a fruit. So I was watching in my tree, the fruit. I have a pomegranate tree. And the fruit, the flower, first comes the flower, so birth, and then it develops into a beautiful little fruit. And then what happens next? The monkeys eat it. You don't get the fruit. That's what happens in Vrindavan. But, so death comes prematurely sometimes. But usually the normal course is that it develops into a fruit, and then it dwindles and it dies. So our bodies are like that. We have birth, we grow, we dwindle, have byproducts, and dwindle and die. So here Prabhupada says, similarly, the transmigrating soul accepts various bodies which undergo six transformations, but the soul remains permanently the same. This is the end of paragraph 1. The soul is eternal and ever-existing, but the bodies accepted by the soul are changing. Paragraph 2. There are two kinds of soul, Supreme Soul, Personality of Godhead, and Individual Soul, the Living Entity. As various bodily changes take place in the individual soul, different millenniums of creation take place in the Supreme Soul. So just imagine, if you're the Supreme Soul, of course we can't imagine, because we're not the Supreme Soul, but for his body, for us it's like, okay, we have a few children and whatever, we get old. But in his body there's millenniums of creation going on. And ours is like each cell is, our cells are being created and destroyed, but in his body whole universes are being created and destroyed. It's quite a different scene. So how does this verse apply to the universal form of the super soul? We know how it applies to our body, and we know that here he says different millenniums of creation. What else can we say about this verse applying to the universal form of the super soul? Or can we say nothing? Actually, I got something at the end of the purport. Lord Vishnu is the chief living being, whereas the individual living entities are parts of Lord Vishnu. All the various grades of bodies, from gigantic universal body to the small body of an ant, are perishable. So what we can say is that the universal form is also perishable. It's not permanent. But the super soul and soul, being equal in quality, both exist eternally. This is further explained in the next verses. So now we're going to hear characteristics of soul and super soul. So each of these Sanskrit words has a very nice meaning. Atmanityo vyaya shutra eka shetra gya ashaya avikriya svajik hetur vyapako sangyana vita itarata shabhi vitvan atmano lakshanai parai aham amitya satpavam deha dalmahajam tajit. So here we have Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death. What is the Sanskrit word for free from birth and death?
Nitya.
Nitya. Free from deterioration. What is the Sanskrit word for free from deterioration? Avyaya. Free from material contamination. Sanskrit? Shuddha. Their individual word is what? Ekka. Individual. They are knowers of the external body, is kshetragya. They are foundation or shelter of everything. And the word is ashraya. They are free from material change. Avikriya, self-illuminated. Svadrik, cause of all causes. Hetur, all-pervading. Vyapaka, they have nothing to do with the material body. Asanga, and therefore they are always uncovered, anavritta. So with these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with this body is mine. So we have a comment here on this, on these verses by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he's talking about tat and tvam. He says, meditation on the absence of the six transformations in the jiva purifies the tvam principle. The same meditation may be applied to meditate on the tat principle, supersoul, in devotion. So now in these two verses, he explains the nature of supersoul. Parai means one should always meditate on the characteristics of the atma, supersoul, which are higher than those of a jivatma. Okay, so those are some comments. So let's see what the purport, paragraph 2. The word eka, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, matstani sarabhutani nachahan teshvavastitaha. Everything, material and spiritual, including earth, water, fire, air, fire, sky, and the living entities, exists on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. In the last paragraph at the beginning of the purport, we should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think they are equal in quantity also. Who are these foolish persons? who think they're Mayavadis, okay? Their intelligence is called Avishuddha Bhutaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. So Prabhupada lectured on this verse actually. And he said he's instructing his friends in class, and he's saying, "O sons of demons." And so Prabhupada said, "Just like all of you, you're all sons of demons too." Prabhupada, he was very frank. He says, "You are not demons, but you are sons of demons." Then he kind of said, "You're not demons. Is that all right?" He said, "But you have no more connection with your demon parents." He says, "So demonic principle is they don't give stress on the soul. They are bodily conscious. I am this body. So as soon as you're so foolish, your activities will be demoniac." So he quotes, "Yasyatma bhuti kuna peji tatu ke." They think that the body of three tatus, that is me. So he says sometimes they believe in transmigration, but they think that they are still, the goal is to become God. So then Prabhupada analyzes all these words, eka, atma, nitya, avyaya. And he says, atma, paramatma, same characteristics. Nitya, eternal. The materialistic scientists, they don't understand this point. They think by some combination of elements, the spirit has come. So that's why they think in other planets, there is no life. What is the proof there is life on other planets? I think we discussed that last week. We were discussing why is there, what is the proof of life on other planets? Bhagavatam is the proof, okay? We hear about it in Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj saw all the planets when he was going upwards. Sarvagata from Bhagavad Gita. Good. Good. One word. So that is, they think there is no life. Even in fire, Atma can live. That Prabhupada always says that. And that there was some BTG article that 600 degrees, I don't remember if it's centigrade or Fahrenheit, in the ocean there, they found life. In 600 degrees temperature. Very, very hot. So the soul cannot be cut. Now there's one sentence here in the purport which I want you to explain to me, which I found very interesting. And it's at the end of paragraph 1. Similarly, we have knowledge the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size tip of a hair, yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as the supreme personality of God. Did that strike you too? Oh, okay. So what does that mean, that we are also cause of all causes? I thought, you know, there's only one cause of all causes, Krishna. Yes, Adi Purush. Okay, very good. Yayedam Taryate Jagat. That is 15:7, right? Ma mai vangsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana.
No, it's 7:5.
Oh, sorry. 7:5 it is. Okay. Yayed. Aparyam itastanyam prakriti vidibe. Okay, 7:5. So they sustain the universe, living entities.
The universe is created for them.
The universe is created for them. Okay, so they sustain the universe. So how is it that then, if they sustain the universe and the universe is created for them, how is it that we are the cause of all causes? Because
by our desires we have caused.
You know, we have caused the creation by our desires, okay? And is that what you're going to say, Jamashtami, Shanta?
It is said what appears from Lord Vishnu is the totality of all the desires is the cause of creation.
Mm, okay.
The cause of creation, yes. Is the total accumulation of the desires of the,
yes. The cause of creation is the accumulation of desires of living entity. And there's one verse that I just remembered when you said that, that it pierced, the karma pierced to the abdomen of the Lord, of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and became a lotus flower. It's the accumulated karma of the living entities pierced through his abdomen. That's us. That's, if you may not remember, but we were there long, long ago. We were piercing through the abdomen of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and going into the lotus flower of Lord Brahma at one point in history.
Piercing.
Huh?
Piercing.
Yeah, that was the word, piercing. Yeah, I think it's 3:8 or something. It's in third canto somewhere.
Piercing through the abdomen.
Yeah, the accumulated karma, the accumulated desires. Yashoda, did you have something?
You were just asking for
the cause of all causes.
So
corporally limited. So it's like right. He's identifying that
yes.
The body is the universe.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a very good understanding and perhaps the understanding of cause of all causes, although all the other answers are also correct, is that we are the cause of this body. The Lord is the cause of the universal body, and we are the cause of this body. So we are the cause of all causes of this wonderful body which we have right now. Cause of all causes. We are the cause, and don't blame anyone else. We are the cause. That's why in Bhagavad Gita he says there's five factors of action. So don't blame anyone but yourself.
It says also in 1321, Purusha Sukha Dukanam.
Purusha Sukha Dukanam.
We are the cause of
our happiness and stress. Yes, we are the cause. No one else.
We cannot blame others.
We cannot blame anyone. So we are cause of all causes of this wonderful, this material body. So Kshetragya. Knower of the body. Oh, let's see. Yeah, that's what I had. I had from the purport. I had a different part. I think it came right after what I read. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. So we are the cause of our body and the changes in our body. Similarly, it's because the Lord is within this universe, the changes dictated by the material laws occur. So, eka, individual. Krishna is also eka, individual. Eka bahu syam. He was one and he wanted to expand into many. And we are also individual. Kshetragya. He is, what's the verse in Bhagavad Gita that he is Kshetragya? He's a shapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am the knower of all bodies, but you are only the knower of this one body. Kshetragya. Then ashraya. Of course, Krishna is the ashraya. Main ashraya. We are somewhat of an ashraya for this body, but we are also dependent on him as ashraya. So we may be for this body, but actually this body is part of the universal body. So if the super soul is not there, then even this body won't be there. So we may be little ashrayas, but we're not the ashraya, the cause of all, supreme cause of all causes. What is he? Swashraya Shraya. He is the ashraya of all ashrayas. The shelter. He is the shelter of all shelters. Yes, we are shelter, but he is the shelter of all shelters. Vyapaka, all-pervading. So he is all-pervading in the universe. We are all-pervading in our bodies. All-pervading consciousness. So, but unfortunately, we are... I think there is something here that's a problem in this verse. That's our problem, not his problem. There's a difference here. I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. Therefore, because we're all these wonderful things, all these spiritual things, we should give up this misconception that I am this body, aham ameti, and everything in relationship with this body is mine. We should give it up. Therefore, there's a therefore. You hear all these wonderful things, so then what? Okay, so what? Therefore, give up the idea that I am this body. So these therefores are there for a purpose. Yes.
Is the cause of all causes is in the same context is all pervading.
Yeah, same context as all pervading. We are all pervading in this body. This is Prabhupada explained this in the lecture 7:7, 19-20 on this verse, on these verses, Bombay 71. So I'm giving you his explanation of these verses. All-pervading means in this body, whereas all-pervading for the Lord means in this universe and in the spiritual world. Yes. Antavanta ime deha nityasyokta sharirina. That's 2:18. Yes. No, 17 is avinashi tutaviti. Yeah. Yes. Om purnam ara purnam pur... Purnam purnas udachite purnasya purnamadaya. So, yes, so she's saying that this correlates with that verse. It's a very, very nice connection, thank you. That all the units which emanate from the Supreme Complete are also complete units in themselves.
It's quoted in the
purport. Oh, it's quoted in the purport. Yeah, it was a big purport, so I couldn't get everything. But that's good. Quoted in the purport. Okay. Now, Prabhupada says another point in his lecture about the verb tyajet. You must, no argument, you must give up this conception that I am this body. No argument. Tyajet. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, okay, this is going to the next verse. If someone asks, so where does such a super soul reside? Because he says it's super soul. Or Prabhupada accepts it as both soul and super soul. The answer is, in one's body. To explain the example, to explain this, the example is given in the next verse. Oops. Yes, we are in verse 21, that's right. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. So all of us in this class have cultivated spiritual knowledge. So, here it says, you can understand where there is gold. The spirit can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. So tell me, now you all have cultivated spiritual knowledge. How can you tell that there is a soul in the body? How do you know? Lakshimoni?
The fact that there's consciousness.
Consciousness, yeah. That any place you touch, there's consciousness in the body. But interestingly enough, the consciousness is not exactly who we are, but we are the source. We are the source of the consciousness, yes. We are the, yes, it's a symptom of us, of who we, of the soul. Lila Madhuri. Okay, we can tell the soul is in the body because the Lord reciprocates with our desires.
The soul desires.
Soul desires.
The mind desires or whatever. And then because the Lord hears it, then he reciprocates.
Okay. Yeah, that might be hard for a non-devotee to understand, but it's true for devotees. Jamashtami. Okay, the soul experiences spiritual emotions in relationship to Krishna, Dhamma Krishna.
It's going through changes of demon, it can multiply.
It's go what?
It's going through changes.
Who is?
The soul. Actually, the soul in the body, because
the soul is going through changes.
So the body can change.
Oh, okay. You're saying that the only reason that the body changes is because the soul is there. Otherwise, because we know if the child is born without a soul, the child is born dead, it won't grow. Okay? The growth is the proof of the soul, okay? Changes.
If we examine the psychology, we can see that a person can change their modes.
Okay. Person can, if you examine the psychology of the person, now we're talking about subtle body here. The soul is also covered by a subtle body. And if we examine the psychology, we can see you can change your mode. You can go from passion to ignorance to goodness. You can sleep, you can be angry, you can do so many things. So that is the proof that the soul, there is something beyond the modes. Because if it's just the modes, then... Okay, it's a little hard to understand. Yashoda? Okay, the understanding has to come with a certain amount of purification of the jiva. He comes to a point where he hears from authorities. Yes, some of us may have the experience even before becoming devotees of seeing the difference between the soul and the body. Yeah.
We do remember experiences we went through at 5 or 6 and our body has drastically changed.
Yes, we remember experiences at a small age, but that body is gone. That 5-year-old body, yes.
The beginning sense of the soul is that we don't want to die.
Okay, we don't want to die. That's a very good indication that there's a soul in the body. There's another very good indication of a soul in the body besides that, yeah.
So Prabhupada once said that we don't remember any time when we did not exist.
Okay, we don't remember any time when we did not exist. Yes. Okay. Yes. Except, yes.
Why actually the person fears of death? Because he don't know where he will go, how he will be alive without this body. That's why he is attached to this body.
Mm-hmm.
But if he realizes that his soul, eternal soul, so...
Yeah, I know. I lost it too. You lost me. Anyway, I'm sure it was, yeah.
That's it too. The feeling that we're not going to die is actually coming from the eternality.
Yeah, feeling that we're not going to die. And why we don't want to die? Because we don't. We don't actually die. Another point he makes is that when we're not satisfied with our condition, that's an indication that the soul exists, because we're not satisfied with material, with suffering. Why we're not satisfied with suffering? Because we're not meant to suffer. We're eternally blissful. So therefore, as soul, we're not satisfied with death, we're not satisfied with disease, we're not satisfied with all these things. Yes?
But at the same time, we should be tolerant, we should be satisfied, but in the condition of life...
Well, that's a different point. Yeah, that's a different point. We're trying to prove why the soul exists. That your point is that more to be in the mode of goodness. But now the point is, why does the soul exist? It's a different point. Yeah.
There's an express method of excavation.
Okay, now we're geologists, and we're hearing from the expert geologist Adi Purush, and he's going to tell us about an express method of excavation. Everybody knows what excavation means? It means digging. You're digging the earth now. And we're digging our heart. Okay, Adi Purush, let's go.
After 1 or 2 or 3 hours of a good kirtan.
Okay, kirtan.
Experience that.
Then you experience that, yes. That there's excavation and you experience that your soul. Right. You're not the body, yes. That's a fact. When we used to do Harinam 12 hours a day, you were definitely... One time somebody, I didn't know, you know, I was just a new devotee and I was doing day and night. We hardly slept. The standard was 4 hours of sleep at night. And one third of us were sick, actually. But someone asked me, are you sick? And I said, well, I don't know if I have a fever or if I'm in ecstasy. I don't know. You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell what was happening with your body. We were so separated from our bodies after 12 hours of Harinam on the street every day. We couldn't even figure out what was going on. Couldn't figure out what was happening like that. I remember that somebody asked me that. That was a new bhakti, I don't know. Yeah. Anything else about soul? Now we're on the... Okay, I'll just ask Prashant, did you have your hand up about this? No, you were just scratching. Okay, Yashoda, and then you. Now be on the point. Okay, you had an experience where the past and future were going on in the present. What an experience that must have been.
That had to mean that there was a consciousness that knew of these things that were separate from the
one. So that must mean that there's a consciousness that knows these things that's separate. Yes, we have special experiences, and it proves that the soul is eternal. Okay, yes? Yes.
Blissful,
okay.
Seeking for Anandamaya. Anandamayi. So it
yes.
means because we are part of the Supreme Satchitananda Vigraha.
Right.
So this is also proves that we are part of Him.
Mm. So Prabhupada, he asked the question to the Theosophical Society in Mexico, that what is the purpose of anything? What is the purpose of anything? And that was the answer, Ananda. The purpose is to, Ananda, happiness, to be happy. And that's the purpose of life, because we are Ananda. Okay, I think I better go on, because I've got to finish these verses. Okay. Purport. In the middle of paragraph 1. An expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore. As an expert mineralogist, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals, Prabhupada's favorite word, who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system or finally in the bhakti yoga system. Bhakti amam abhijanate. So this is, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, for only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. Aham, mameti. This doggish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and supreme spirit God, who are eternally related. Thus, one may return home, back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. So Prabhupada was discussing on this verse, and he put a question to the devotees. So I've put the same question to you. Prabhupada says that you say you know God. You're an expert geologist, right? So how can you know God? Suppose you're Krishna conscious, you have devoted your life to Krishna. So how do you see Krishna, that you're working so hard for him day and night? How do you see Krishna? That was Prabhupada's question to the devotees. Yes. In the heart. Okay, very good. I wish I could. I wish I could see him in the heart too. Yes. Okay, yeah?
In the bliss that you experience.
In the
bliss.
In the happiness. Okay. The happiness you experience. That was very close to Prabhupada's answer. I think. He said, first the devotee said, Shastra, the teachings, you see him that way. Prabhupada said, that's nice, but so you're following blindly your spiritual master? He said that. Then the one devotee said, your heart becomes pure, you can hear Krishna before you see him, and this is a purification, he's preaching to Prabhupada, this is a purification process, and it can be felt, and you ask, you can feel it by chanting Hare Krishna. Why not try it? So Prabhupada said, okay, you've tried. Have you seen? Have you seen? You've tried for the last 4 or 5 years. Have you seen Krishna? So, okay, he's in the heart. Have you seen him? And that's Prabhupada's answer to your answer. Have you seen him in the heart? He says, well, the devotee said, we cannot see because our eyes are impure. Prabhupada said, then you're following blindly. Prabhupada would argue with the devotees. So then he did say that the bliss, that you experience the happiness, as someone over here said. I think, was that? I can't remember who. I know that was the answer which Prabhupada liked the best. Although there are many answers. He said, then there's another answer. You can look at this world and you see different characteristics. That there is a living force. And that is that new philosophy in America from the scientists. Design, intelligent design. Oh, that's, yeah, intelligent design. There must be a big brain. There must be an organization. So thinking deeply what I am. That's what these verses are meant for us to do. These are very philosophical verses dealing with introspection. Introspection into what is the soul. And the last verse for today is verse 22. And this is from the Sankhya philosophy. Lord, 8 separated material energies, 3 modes of material nature, 16 transformations, 11 senses and 5 gross material elements like earth and fire, earth and water. Within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. So there is a difference between the elements and the soul. So now it's being explained. After mentioning adhyatma vit, one who is expert in understanding the distinction, now these are being explained. So this is Sankhya philosophy, analyzing the elements and seeing how the soul is not that, not in these elements. It's different. So Prabhupada says in the purport, as explained in the previous verse, Kshetreshu deheshu tatatma yogara adhyatma vit brahma gatim labheta. A spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. Thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the external 8 external energies. So it's not that you just go for the soul. You got to understand, analyze the material creation. End of paragraph 1. Within the earth, are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit. Did you ever think of that? That it's all coming from the earth. It's inside the earth. If it's in a flower, and where's the flower coming from? It's coming from the earth. So that means the smell of the rose must be in the earth. The sweet fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, the apples, the taste of apples, the taste of oranges is in the earth. And the smell of roses, all the flowers, did you ever think of that? Prabhupada's being very analytical here. It's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarvakama Dukamahi, the earth, Mahi, contains all our requirements. So the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi, or the earth. So if you were wondering why it says Sarvakama Dukamahi, why does the earth have everything? Now, here's one way you can understand. The smell is there, the taste is there. Everything is in the earth, everything that we need. Punya Gandha Pitivyam Cha. Krishna says in Gita, Rasoham Suhantiya. Punya Gandha Pitivyam Cha. So within the total material, the gross material elements and subtle material elements, mind intelligence and ahankara, false ego, constitute the total material energy. That was, that was paragraph one. Paragraph two. Within the total material energy are the three material modes or qualities. These qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun, belong not to the soul, but to the material energy. It is because of interaction of these three material modes of nature, the five knowledge-gathering senses, working senses, and their controller, the mind, are manifested. Then according to these modes, the living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus the body, the machine, begins to work. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great Acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his incarnation as Devahuti Pucha Kapila. This is indicated here by the word Acharyai. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized Acharya. So this is Sankhya philosophy, self-analysis. We're trying to find the soul in the body just like an expert geologist. And these are different ways to find the soul. One way is to see what the soul is, and now we're seeing what matter is, what the soul is not. First we heard what is the soul, now we're hearing what is the soul, what the soul is not. So eight elements, separated energy, it's separated, it's not the same as the spiritual energy. It has different characteristics. So this is being explained here. But everything is an interaction of the eight elements and the three gunas. So this is analytical study. And why he's telling all this analytical philosophy, just to convince them that you're not the body, yet your soul. And this is to give up this asad bhavam, to give up this bhava, this attachment, this bhava for asat, for the asat, for the temporary. Give up this illusory conception. And tomorrow we'll hear a little bit more on this side of the philosophy, what you're not and all this analytical, and then he'll give us the very easy process of devotional service. So let's... You have to wait for tomorrow. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes?
I probably know, but I can't think. What is the previous life of the lifetime?
Oh, yeah. Previous life. I've heard different things. One thing I heard that he was with his girlfriend, and it was Nishinga Chaturdashi, and they stayed up the whole night fasting because they were having an argument. It was Ekadashi? Well, I thought it was Nishinga. It was Nishinga Chaturdashi. And somehow they spent the night at a dilapidated old temple, Vishnu temple, or Nishinga temple perhaps. And because they stayed up all night fasting on Nishinga Chaturdashi and the whole day and night fasting, and they cleaned the temple because they wanted a place to enjoy, so they cleaned the temple. Well, that's one story I heard. Now, why he became the son... Yeah, anyway, that's one story I heard. There's probably other stories. I heard that one. Any Adipush, you have another story? No. This story is also, I think, there in... No. Anyway, I don't remember where I heard it. But some class, some book. Huh? Yeah, it's a Puranic story. Puranic story. I heard it a few places. One place, maybe this Katamrita of... Bhuvaneshwar, that magazine they put out. Yes?
Narada and Pralada are both Nitya and Sadhana Siddhas.
Nitya and Sadhana Siddhas. Nitya and sadhana siddhas. Oh yeah, even Prabhupada gets into it, I think. Nitya and sadhana siddhas. Prabhupada will get into it in some purport where he talks about Prahlad. I can't remember now. Maybe somewhere he talks about Prahlad and being sadhana siddha. Yes, Shona? No material impediments to spiritual life.
I fully understood that because
again, yeah. Well, she wasn't trying for spiritual knowledge. It's for one who's trying for spiritual knowledge, for spiritual life, there's no impediment. But she was just happened to be, and she was there just for protection of her child until her husband came up. It's a matter of desire. If you want to do some service, then there's no impediment. There's no material impediment for you to do that service. But she wasn't thinking about doing devotional service. She wasn't there for that. So therefore, you know, it wasn't the point. Yeah.
Isn't there some consideration for eligibility? I mean, at certain points, certain things are blocked to aspirants because they don't have eligibility.
Yeah. Okay. What's the eligibility? Any nectar of devotion experts here?
It says not to be too attached, not to be too detached.
Not too attached, not too detached.
For the path of bhakti.
Eligibility for devotional service. I think there's a whole chapter on it, the nectar of devotion. You can read the chapter. And somebody else was here first on this side. Was it Madhavendra Puri? Did you have your hand up? Adi Purush.
Yes. In the 21st verse.
21st verse. Okay, one should search out the spirit.
And sometimes we are fired up about searching the spirit, and sometimes we become
we lose it. Yeah,
complacent.
Yes.
Stop searching.
Yes, I've got plenty of time.
What's the reason and the remedy?
Okay, so his question is that sometimes we're very enthusiastic to search out the soul, and sometimes we lose it. And that is actually a symptom of anishchita bhajana kriya. It's sometimes thick and sometimes thin. So what's the remedy for... There are many levels. There's 6 levels of anishchita, so that's one of the levels. So what is the remedy for... That's actually pramada. It's madness, indifference, laziness. And these could be reasons. Indifference, laziness... What's the third one? There's 3 kinds of inattentive.
Inattention.
Huh?
Inattention.
Yeah, no, these are 3 types of inattention.
Distraction.
Yeah. So there's 3 causes of this that I understand. It's distraction and indifference and laziness. And if you can read in Harinam Chintamani, what are the effective remedies to counteract this? And all 3 of them. The thing that runs through, there's 2 things that run through all 3 of the remedies. One is association of very fired up devotees or advanced devotees or even a group of devotees who have the same goal, who we may not be so advanced, but we all desire that. We all have that desire to search for the soul and to go back to Godhead and to hear about Krishna. So we may not be so advanced, but if we just have that desire, that's good. So one thing is association. And the second thing is what you said previously, Harinam Sankirtan. These are the most powerful methods of alleviating that problem of thick and thin, or indifference, laziness, or distraction, the causes. Inattentive chanting, inattentive devotional service. Just inattentive. I mean, we're supposed to be Krishna conscious. But we're conscious sometimes without the Krishna. Mechanical devotional service. That's what I would say. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
I have a question about the verse 18 of the 6th chapter.
18 of 6, we're going back to 6. Okay.
No, it says, in brief, it says...
Oh, I didn't lecture on that verse, but okay. It's the verse before mine. But 18 of 6. Okay. Chapter 7.
Anyway, it says, those who are addicted to living for sense gratification.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Well, it's not just to those who hanker. They have to be qualified, too.
Yeah, but it's
you, I mean, some people go to the hellish planets who hanker, too, and they're undisturbed. Their sense gratification is more undisturbed than in the heavenly planets. Some people who hanker, they go down. Some people go up. Some people stay here in the earthly planet. It's not just like that. Well, I have the tendency, but they're not. It's not as severe. This is a heavy word here. Addiction. Addiction. Victimized. So, it's not. That's one of the symptoms. One of the symptoms. Factually addicted to sense gratification. So, what's the difference? So, the question is, then, what's the difference between? It seems like you're asking, what's the difference between a demigod who has this desire and somebody else who has that desire? Yeah. An obsession. Addiction is a... You can't live without. And it's a center. It's a center. So the demigods are not that bad. They may have some failings. They may have some... They fall down sometimes. But their center is more Krishna. Whereas the demons, the center is... This is the center. As we said before, what's the center of your existence that you have to see? Well, Hiranyakashipu's center was women and that. And Prahlad, he had a different center. And the demigods, they're servants, they're devotees. Their center is Krishna, but they're not such strong, you know, they're mixed devotees. So we don't want to just dwell on their weak points. You know, they may have some weaknesses, we all have some weaknesses, but it's not their center. It doesn't mean that's everything for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the heavenly planets. It means you have to be a devotee of sorts to be in the heavenly planets. Anybody else have something? Jamashri, did you have something? No.
Yeah, I asked a question like this of Satchinanda Swami.
Satchinanda Swami, you asked him? Oh, what was the question?
How do you become steady?
How do you become steady in your chanting?
And then his response, gosh, I can't remember all of it, but it was utsaha.
Utsaha, enthusiasm.
The soul of something.
Okay, the soul of faith, the soul of shraddha, is utsaha, or enthusiasm, for those of you who don't know Sanskrit. Utsaha, enthusiasm, is the soul of faith. It's a life. I've seen it also, the life of faith. The life and soul.
So if we have faith. A strong faith, then
there's steadiness. Enthusiasm. Yeah, well, there's six things given by Rupa Goswami that help our devotional service. Utsaha, nishchaya, dharya, tatar karma pravartanat, sangatyaga, satovrite, sadbir bhaktir, prasiditi, navinashti, prasiditi. These are good things that will help us in getting through the thick and thin, and diluted and thick. Yes, Lashmur. Faith is created by association.
You need faith. It's like they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't maintain faith without the association.
Yeah.
That association will drain your faith and your enthusiasm.
Okay, so in order to keep your faith, maintain your faith, you need good association. And bad association will drain your faith. And so they go together. That was what, association is the most important thing. Yes, Adi Purush Prabhu.
Verse
625. Okay, we're attached to the sixth chapter here. No problem. It's all nectar, right? Those were beautiful verses.
So it says here that what use are things that come automatically from the transformation of the modes?
Mm. What is the use of things which come automatically from transformation of the modes?
And then it says,
what uses aguna? What uses moksha? Mm-hmm. Agunena. Mm-hmm. Dharma.
For those who are relishing
the saram,
the nectar.
Yeah.
Charana yoga. Lord's feet.
Yes.
So. For those who are relishing the nectar.
For those who are relishing the nectar, saram.
And Vishnu Chakravarti says,
become like bumblebees who have no other desires.
They become like bumblebees who have no other desires. So that is our goal. We all want to become bumblebees. Remember, we were talking about becoming a butterfly. We said in the first one of the first class that the caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. And you have to give up. You have to give up your caterpillar body and your caterpillar consciousness to become transformed. So now we want to become bumblebees also. So we can get the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, which they're lotuses, and bumblebees like lotus. And what's the bumblebee? It's our mind. It's the mind of the devotee. If you see the Krishna's lotus feet, they have a mark of a lotus on his feet. And that symbolizes that the bee of the devotee's mind, it captures the bee of the devotee's mind to his lotus feet. He relishes nectar there. The mind is captured. Be like mind. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.